we have just started the exposition of Karma Yoga. This chapter is entitled Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya means Jnana Yoga, Yoga means Karma Yoga. Therefore, this chapter is centered on Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga. And the center of this chapter is Buddhi. By the power of Buddhi, you can enter into Jnana Yoga. By the power of Buddhi, you can enter into Karma Yoga. The first part of the second chapter is devoted to the Buddhi as applied in Jnana Yoga. And it is said that by applying Buddhi, you understand and realize what is permanent, eternal. And when you know what is eternal, you get freedom from grief. You get liberated, moksha. But there is the application of Buddhi in such a way that even if you do action, you still get free from grief and you get liberation. And that is what we have been now centered upon. And the first statement of Karma Yoga is that to action alone you have the right and not to its fruits. And do not do action for the sake of the enjoyment of fruits. This is where we have reached last time. We had also added two more sentences that if you can do an action in a state of equality, then you have the measure that you are really doing Karma Yoga. Do karma, do action, but have a state of equality. That will be the standard. You will be able to judge whether you are doing Karma Yoga or not. I added that this is where the second chapter ends as far as Karma Yoga is concerned. With the third chapter, we are told a new secret of Karma Yoga, namely that when you can do yoga of karma by sacrificing the work, the concept of yajna is emphasized in the third chapter. And third chapter is specially designed for Karma Yoga alone. This chapter is both Sankhya and Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga. The third chapter is centrally concentrated upon Karma Yoga, and the secret that is revealed in the third chapter is that when you do the karma, you should do it as a sacrifice. And the fourth chapter goes further in Karma Yoga. And although it is entitled Jnana Yoga, we shall see why, but it still continues the definition of Karma Yoga. And the secret that is told in the fourth chapter is that when you continue action with the state of equality and as a sacrifice, then in due course you are elevated to such an extent that your action is not only action for the divine, but your action itself becomes divine's work. Divyam karma becomes divine's own work, not your work for the divine, but divine himself acting through you, and divine's own action passes through you. That is the culmination of karma yoga. But that comes in the fourth chapter. At this stage, it is good if we can ask ourselves, why should karma yoga be called yoga? In other words, what is the definition of yoga? And what is the precise distinction between karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga? Every yoga must have three aspects. There is an object of yoga. There is an instrument by which yoga is done. And there is the method of yoga, the process of yoga. So you cannot say that you have studied yoga unless you can define very clearly for any yoga, unless you can answer these three questions. Why is karma yoga karma yoga? Why is it so called? So you must know what is the object of karma yoga. What is the instrument by which you are conducting karma yoga, and what is the method of doing it? So let us answer these three questions, because we are now studying the Bhagavad Gita not as merely outside students, but as somewhat more competent students, so that we have a shastric knowledge, a scientific knowledge, much more intimate knowledge of the book itself.